In 1633, an elderly astronomer knelt before the Roman Inquisition and renounced his life's work. Legend says Galileo Galilei muttered under his breath, "And yet it moves," a final act of defiance against those who demanded he deny Earth's motion around the sun. This image has become our culture's shorthand for the relationship between science and religion, perpetual warfare with truth martyred at superstition's altar. But what if nearly everything we believe about this famous conflict is wrong? The real story reveals something far more intriguing than a simple battle between reason and faith. Galileo himself never saw science and religion as enemies. He believed they could coexist harmoniously. The trial wasn't really about astronomy at all, but about power. Who gets to interpret reality, control education, and claim authority over truth? This pattern repeats throughout history, from Darwin's theory to climate change debates today. What looks like science versus religion often masks deeper struggles about political control, cultural identity, and whose knowledge counts as legitimate. The conflict thesis, that science and religion have always battled, dominates popular imagination, yet history tells a different story. Isaac Newton devoted more time to biblical prophecy than physics. Robert Boyle funded scripture translations. Michael Faraday saw electromagnetic fields as windows into divine creation. For them, scientific investigation was religious devotion by another name. The conflict narrative serves political purposes more than historical accuracy. Thomas Paine's 1790s attacks on Christianity targeted institutional power, not theology. Today's battles over evolution or climate science signal tribal allegiances rather than intellectual disagreements. The science becomes secondary to what it represents. Even our categories mislead. Science and religion as a unified field only emerged in the 1950s. Before then, specific sciences interacted with particular religious traditions differently. Islamic societies nurtured astronomy for prayer calculations. Jewish communities excelled in medicine. The Catholic Church funded more scientific research than perhaps any other institution. Treating science and religion as monolithic forces obscures this rich, complex reality. When Galileo pointed his telescope skyward in 1609, he shattered humanity's understanding of knowledge itself. Venus showed phases, proving it orbited the sun. Jupiter had moons circling it, not Earth. The moon appeared rocky and scarred, not ethereally perfect. The deeper revolution was epistemological. We navigate reality using four fallible sources: deceiving senses, biased reasoning, others' testimony, and unreliable memory. Each is individually weak, but collectively stronger when systematically woven through scientific methods. Religious traditions add a fifth source, revelation. Unlike reproducible scientific knowledge, revealed truth tends to be private, a vision, scripture, divine communication. When Galileo argued that scripture used accommodated language and shouldn't override empirical observation, he threatened Counter-Reformation insistence on exclusive church interpretation. Does God intervene in nature, or does the universe run on autopilot? Early scientists like Descartes imagined nature as a mechanical system governed by mathematical laws, God as cosmic legislator. But if laws are truly inviolable, where's room for divine action? Then quantum mechanics upended everything. At the subatomic level, particles behave probabilistically. Einstein resisted. God does not play dice with the universe. Some theologians seized on quantum indeterminacy as the gap where God might act without violating natural law. But gaps in scientific knowledge make unstable theological foundations. The real miracle isn't that natural laws occasionally break, but that they exist at all. Charles Darwin's 1882 funeral at Westminster Abbey marked the establishment's uneasy acceptance of evolution. Yet profound questions remained. If humans evolved from primates, what happens to the soul, free will, and moral responsibility? Darwin initially planned to become an Anglican priest, but 5 years aboard HMS Beagle transformed him. Witnessing biological diversity, particularly Galapagos finches with beaks adapted to different food sources, and reading Malthus on population competition, he developed a theory requiring no divine intervention, random variation, inheritance, resource competition, and survival of the fittest across vast timescales. Darwin opened On the Origin of Species with theological epigraphs, framing evolution as compatible with a God working through natural laws. Yet nature's cruelty troubled him, particularly the ignominy wasp, which lays eggs inside living caterpillar hosts. The 1860 Oxford debate between Bishop Wilberforce and Thomas Huxley was ultimately about institutional power. Who educates the next generation? Whose interpretation of reality prevails? Darwin's later works suggested our rationality and ethics might be products of natural selection rather than divine gifts, further dissolving the human-animal boundary. In March 1925, Tennessee outlawed teaching evolution. The ACLU recruited John Scopes for a test case that became the Monkey Trial, a media spectacle featuring William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow symbolizing science-religion conflict. The trial embodied fundamentalist Christianity's resistance to 1920s modernization, urbanization, immigration, changing gender roles, eroding rural values. Though Scopes was convicted, evolution largely disappeared from American classrooms for decades. By the 1960s, the Supreme Court struck down anti-evolution laws. Creationists adapted, developing creation science that avoided biblical references. When courts rejected that approach, intelligence design emerged, accepting Earth's antiquity while arguing certain biological structures show evidence of purposeful design. Michael Behe's Irreducible Complexity exemplified this. Structures like bacterial flagella supposedly couldn't evolve gradually because intermediate forms would provide no advantage. Scientists demonstrated how such structures could evolve through co-option, repurposing existing components for new functions. The 2005 Dover trial exposed intelligence design's creationist origins when publishers had simply replaced creationism with intelligence design after court defeats. Why does evolution remain uniquely controversial in America? It touches fundamental questions. If we're products of blind natural processes, does life have inherent meaning? These aren't just scientific questions, they're existential ones, shaping identity, politics, and community belonging. If human behavior results from genetics, neurology, and conditioning, what happens to moral responsibility, free will, or afterlife hopes? Since the 19th century, scientific studies of mind and brain have raised these uncomfortable questions, challenging religious ideas about human uniqueness. Phrenology claimed to determine mental traits from skull shape. Though scientifically worthless, it became wildly popular in Victorian Britain and was weaponized to justify racial hierarchies, most notoriously by Samuel Morton, whose skull collection supposedly proved racial differences, justifying American slavery. Modern neuroscience creates similar tensions. When researchers identified brain areas activated during nuns' mystical experiences, some saw proof God exists, while skeptics argued an experience can't be caused by both the brain and an immaterial being. Yet philosophers note that all our beliefs arise from the same evolved neurological apparatus. Finding brain correlates for religious experience doesn't prove or disprove God any more than finding neural correlates for perceiving color proves the external world doesn't exist. The deeper worry has always been moral. Without belief in divine judgment, won't people descend into selfish immorality? Yet evolutionary explanations for altruism have proliferated, from Dawkins's metaphorically selfish genes to Wilson's group selection. But showing an instinct is natural doesn't answer whether following it is right. Evolution explains why we have certain moral intuitions. It doesn't tell us which to trust. When indigenous protesters blocked the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea in 2019, media framed it as science versus superstition. The reality was far more complex. For Native Hawaiians, Mauna Kea is sacred as the birthplace of God Wakea. Their opposition stemmed from centuries of colonization, land seizure, and broken promises dating to America's 19th century overthrow of the Hawaiian Kingdom. This pattern repeats globally. Colonial missions paired scientific and religious authority to displace indigenous knowledge, offering care while criminalizing local healing practices. Categorizing knowledge as science versus religion became evidence of European superiority, justifying domination of lands and resources. Contemporary science denial increasingly follows political rather than religious lines. The fraudulent Wakefield vaccine study sought lawsuit profits. Tobacco companies funded studies refuting cancer links. COVID-19 prevention protests followed partisan divisions. Today's organized efforts to undermine scientific consensus increasingly come from secular sources pursuing economic or political agendas. Climate change represents the central science-religion challenge of our era. While some religious voices claim humans cannot harm God's creation, many more emphasize ethical responsibility for creation care. Finding solutions requires synthesizing scientific knowledge with religious insights about ethics, meaning, and obligations to future generations. The relationship between science and religion defies simple categorization. Throughout history, religious institutions have fostered scientific inquiry, medieval monasteries preserving mathematical texts, the Vatican Observatory continuing astronomical research since 1582, Islamic scholars advancing optics and medicine. Rather than competitors, science and religion offer complementary approaches. Science excels at explaining how natural processes work. Religious traditions offer frameworks for meaning, purpose, and ethical guidance. Both have been misused to justify oppression, yet both have inspired humanity's greatest achievements. Studying their interaction offers lessons in intellectual humility, reminding us that knowledge is provisional, certainty often illusory, and the most important questions rarely have simple answers.